You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast. We've got Ascot, Carlisle and Doncaster domestically. Then there's action over the Irish Sea in the Curra and Limerick. It's Ross Briley, John Budden and Sean Quinn in the studio from 1:40pm to guide you through all of the action. But first of all, joining myself on today's edition of the podcast to look at four races for us is Andrew Mount. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Sam. How are you doing?
Not bad at all. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, can't complain. Although a little bit frustrated this morning as I've been trying to buy a bottle opener in Leeds. You'd think that would be a simple task. Getting the train home after racing on Saturday, thinking I'll have a couple of bottles of beer, just needed one of those little openers, and can I find one? Can I hell?
Really?
So yeah, I can get a corkscrew, or I can get a tin opener, but I can't find a bottle opener. And anybody under 30 in one of these shops doesn't seem to know what I'm talking about. So.
Yeah, that is frustrating. Seemingly one of life's easier tasks, that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, picking the winner of the Lincoln's easier, Andrew.
I think so.
At this moment in time. Because, of course, as we record this podcast, we're less than 2 hours away from the flat season proper starting, if you like, because there won't be too many people that would say the red car meeting on Monday was the curtain raiser that Donny is.
And I think anybody who watched those races would think that it should have been abandoned because the ground was desperate and it didn't make good watching.
Yeah, correct. Are you looking forward to the flat season, Andrew?
Absolutely, yeah. As somebody who concentrates on draw and pace bias, the flat is my favourite area of the sport at the moment.
Yeah, of course. And of course, the great thing with the flat as well is you can never have your selection pulling 10, 15 lengths clear and then coming down at the last.
Exactly. And after a winter of all weather, you sort of get a bit tired of Wolverhampton, Chelmsford and Southall, and you're ready for a bit of grass action by the time the spring comes around.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. But of course, we've still got two really great jumps meetings before the season is out. We've got Aintree and Punchestown, and we're not too far away from Aintree now, Andrew. I know this is something we were chatting about last night on the show. Are there any fancies for you for the meeting as a whole, and of course the big one, the Grand National as well?
Yeah, I've tipped up the Last Samurai in the Grand National. Love this horse. It's improved this season since joining Kim Bailey from Donald McCain. Always needs his first run of the season, 0-3 on seasonal debuts, but outside of his first run, he's had 11 runs, 8 wins, a second by a neck, unseated rider when still in contention, and a mid-division effort and a grade one hurdle at Aintree when returning from a three-month break and probably in need of the run. So, he's well in at the weights. The handicap is saying he would have raised him £12 if he could have assessed his Grimthorpe chase win. So 10-8 looks pretty good. And, as long as he races prominently and stays out of trouble, then I think 12-1, the current price for the Last Samurai, is a great price.
Yeah, certainly does look a good bet. We know Willie Mullins is set to take fairly significant raiding party over to Aintree. Seems dead set to get this British trainer's title.
Yes, indeed. I think he's about 3-1 on now, isn't he, to win it. But there's so much money involved with the Grand National that if Paul Nicholls wins that, or even has a second and third, then I think he could keep the title.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, he's only 150 grand behind now. Would you be keen to back his horses, William Mullins, or do you feel that it's been rushed? Would you be preferring to look at something that's been targeted at Aintree?
Looks
example?
A bit of an afterthought, perhaps, for some of them. You know that all roads lead to Cheltenham for that yard, so I wouldn't be overly keen.
Okay, fair enough. And just before we move on to Sunday's action, you were in the studio with us yesterday, Andrew. Were there any particular eye-catching performers yesterday? Anything worthy of going into the notebook?
Crikey, yesterday was a long time ago.
A lot of meetings as well for a Friday.
Let me just I'll tell you what there was. There was a race at Newbury, a 3 mile handicap hurdle, where I was dead against the favourite because of his form left-handed. I'm trying to think of the name of this thing now. Bear with me. Sperodek. And I actually tipped, went against it and tipped second favourite Roy Carno, who was in front and going well and stumbled and unseating the rider two out. But Sperodek jumped out to his right at pretty much every single hurdle and just completely hated the track. You look at his record left-handed now. He's been beaten by 55 lengths, beaten by 16 lengths, pulled up, and now beaten by 40 lengths at Newbury. And so next time out, if he turns up at a right-handed track, you know, like an Exeter or a Carlisle, you know, he's going to be a decent price, you know, and there'll be an overreaction to that seemingly poor run at Newbury yesterday, which you can just strike a line through. So, yeah, Sperodek goes on the two-follow list, but only on a right-handed track.
OK, then, Sperodek going right-handed, and the little caveat there for Andrew to take out of yesterday's action. Of course, we saw a former Royal Ascot winner winning on seasonal debut in the shape of Washington DC over at Dundalk, Andrew. We were discussing that race last night on the show, and it's very often one of those where you see a good horse in a race that is not his target. You think it might be a little tune-up, but won it anyway.
That's
has to be an eye-catching one for the season.
Yeah, it's very tricky when you see these sort of Aidan O'Brien Group 1 horses running enlisted and Group 3 races first time out. You think, well, he's clearly the best horse in the race, but he's obviously got bigger fish to fry later in the season. So, you know, will he do it? I mean, there's there's more of those to come, actually, like Found at the Curragh on Sunday, who we'll get to later on. But, yeah, Washington, D.C., looked in trouble, actually. You know, he was keen early on and, you know, niggled along at times. But, kept on very well and won comfortably from Alphonsus, the each-way gamble in the race.
Yeah, certainly did. Let's get stuck into some of Sunday's racing now then, Andrew. We're focusing on Ascot and the Curragh. It's not a bad day of action domestically on a Sunday, and we can't say that every single week.
No, that's right. It's nice to see some decent jumps action at Ascot.
Yeah, because we frequently find ourselves on a Sunday saying, oh, look how good the action is in Ireland, in France, and we're always left a bit flat by the
UK
action.
Yeah, we end up with like Fos Lass.
Yeah, exactly,
like that.
Yeah. But, it's a decent card at Ascot, and we start with their 235, the juvenile handicap hurdle here, just shy of 2 miles, the trip for these 10 runners. It's a Class 2 event, a good bit of prize money on offer, just over 25 grand to the winner. And as ever with these, it attracts a field of lightly raced horses, but ones with winning form early on in their career.
That's right. You don't get many juvenile handicap hurdles. Mm. And the first thing I noticed about this, when looking at the seven previous renewals of this race, we've only had one favourite and a few bigger price ones, including 20-1 and 14-1. I mean, the obvious one on form is top weight Adrian Dupont of Paul Nicholls. This one won a grade one at Chepstow last time out. And if you include his French forms, 3 wins and a second from 4 starts. But I was going to take him on. Nick Williams had a runner in that Grade 1 Chepstow contest that Adrian Dupont won last time, called Kustar Savola. So he'll have a line to the favourites, and I think he can take this with Swinkum Toby, who's making his handicap debut. And the yard's absolutely flying at the moment. And the interesting thing with Nick Williams is that when he targets a race, he'll often run the horse at the same venue earlier in the season, just to give him experience of the track. And I think it's very significant that Swinkum Toby ran over course and distance last time, racing keenly when, you know, ridden just behind the pace, finishing 3rd of 5 behind Gibral Faro. Now, what's interesting as well about this race is that there doesn't seem to be any obvious pace setter. So I think that now that he's going handicapping, I think we'll see Swinkum Toby sent straight to the front. And I think he's a good bet to make all, or certainly place at least, you know, with just 10 stone 9 right down the bottom of the weights.
Okay, Swinkum Toby then for Andrew, Nick Williams and Lizzie Kelly, taking off a further £5 in that 235 at Ascot. From 4-year-olds then to 10-year-olds and up, we go to the 420 at Ascot. This is a veterans handicap chase, part of the veterans chase series. Is qualified for that. 2 miles 7 is the trip for the 15 runners here. And in contrast to the first race, as said, Andrew, there, we know pretty much everything there is to know about these horses.
When these races first started, I wasn't so keen because the form seemed inexplicable. A lot of horses who pulled up last time out were winning them. And I think finally, years later, I've got a handle on them. And the key is to side with the younger veterans.
Okay.
And basically, you know, you have to be 10 years old or older to run in these races. And 10-year-olds got a much better record, a 12% strike rate compared to just 8.9% for 11-year-olds. So basically, strike a line through anything 11 or older. And I also like the record of David Pipe in these races. Pipe's only had 18 10-year-olds running veterans chases since this series started. He's won 7 of those. Backing them blind would have made a profit of £24.75 to a £1 stake. You can then increase that strike rate further by concentrating on those that started at 10 to 1 or less. And that improves his strike rate to 58%, 7 winners from 12, a couple of seconds as well, and plus £30.75 to a £1 stake. And the one that leaps off the page here is Shotted Vodka, number 4. This one's a 10-year-old who bounced back to form when winning a veterans chase at Newbury last time out over the Hennessy trip of 3.25 miles. He absolutely cruised through the race, could be called the winner a long way out, and came home 11 lengths clear of Pete the Feet. Now, he's been raised £12 for that, which seems pretty harsh for a 10-year-old. But when you consider his last win a couple of years ago at Haydock came off a mark of 141, and he was rated a 148 after that, a mark of 139 still seems workable. The shorter trip won't hurt, as he was previously regarded as a sort of 2.5 mile, 2 mile 6 horse. So Shotted Vodka's got everything in his favour, the yard's going well, and he fits the profile of previous winners.
Superb Shotted Vodka then for Andrew in the 4.20 at Ascot. We go across the Irish Sea now to pick up a couple of pattern races from the Curragh. We begin with their 3.50. This is the Gladner Stakes, a Group 3 event over 7 furlongs. 9 runners are down to contest this one. It looks a fairly decent renewal here, Andrew.
Yes, indeed. there's a sort of a couple of interesting stats associated with the previous winners of this race, and that 4-year-olds have won the last 5 renewals, including a 50-to-1 winner Flight Risk last year and a 25-to-1 shot in 2013. You know, Aidan O'Brien won it with a 7-to-2 on favourite Acceleration in 2012, but his recent runners haven't fared so well. And so my angle here was to oppose Aidan O'Brien and to side with the 4-year-olds, and that helps narrow the field down. And the one I was going to go with was number 9, Joe Allier of Dermot Wells. She's a 4-year-old filly who won on her debut last year over 7 furlongs at Gowran Park on slow ground before running in the Irish 1000 Guineas at the Curragh over a mile when possibly not getting home. Still, far from disgrace, finishing 9th of 18, beating just 6 lengths. Now, on her reappearance this year, she again ran over a mile at the Curragh, this time in Group 3 company, and didn't look to get home, finishing a 4-length third behind Queen Blossom. So back at 7 furlongs, and from a yard who's had 6 winners and 4 places from the last 14 runners, I think Joe Allier can go well at what should be a decent price.
OK, Andrew's pick then in the 3.50. We stay at the Curragh then for the final race on today's podcast. This is the 4.25, the Alleged Stakes, a listed event here over a mile and a quarter. 7 runners to focus on here, Andrew, but the obvious likely favourite here is Found, one of only 2 horses to lower the colours of Golden Horn last year in the Breeders' Cup. And as we said earlier on in the podcast, how do you assess these Group 1 horses running in a listed event first time up?
Well, I remember I used to be a big fan of Nick Morden years ago when I first got into horse racing, and he always used to quote an American professional punter who used to say, if you see a Grade 1 horse running in anything other than a Grade 1 race, you should expect to see it run well without winning.
Right.
So, the idea being that they're using these lesser races as stepping stones, they're not 100% wound up. They might end up outclassing the opposition and winning anyway, but they're probably going to be short prices, and you're not going to miss anything by not getting involved with them. And, look at Found, not seen since, winning at Keeneland last October in the Breeders' Cup turf. You know, fantastic victory under a brilliant ride from Ryan Moore. But then go back 6 months to her seasonal debut last term, 5-to-4 favourite and a 7-furlong Group 3 at the Curragh. Second of 6, beaten by 2 lengths. Sort of clearly not wound up, you'd think. So I'm guessing, stroke hoping, that the same thing's going to be happening this year as well. And I mean, looking at the previous winners of this race, Aidan O'Brien took it in 2007, you know, but hasn't won it since. And I think Found could be vulnerable, despite likely to be a. I don't know what price she is yet. I don't think we've got any betting yet, but, no, but I think she's going to be pretty sure.
Yeah, 4-6 on the forecast that I'm looking at. So
yeah, I'm going to take her on. And the thing I noticed with this race was that there doesn't look like being a great deal of early pace. And the one who could get a soft lead is number one, Success Days. This one's ran poorly on final two starts last year, but bear in mind this was like finishing last of 12 in the Derby. And last of seven in a Group One in Germany. So you go back to his earlier 10 furlong form, had two runs at this trip, both at Leopardstown, and won both times. So one first time out last term, and I just think Success Days, if allowed to bowl along, could be the way to go in this particular race.
Okay, Success Days then for Andrew, getting the nod in the 4.25 at the Curragh. Just remind us, please, one more time, then your four selections for the races we've looked at on Sunday.
Okay, we start with the 2.35, the juvenile handicap hurdle at Ascot, in which I'm going for the Nick Williams-trained Swincombe Toby, who I'm hoping is ridden prominently, can make all. 4.20 Ascot, the veterans handicap chase, I'm siding with the 10-year-old angle and going with David Pipe's Shot of Vodka. Then we're off to the Curragh for the 350, the Group 3 Gladness Stakes. And I'm on the side of the Dermot Weld-trained Joe Allier. And in the 425 at the Curragh, I'm taking on likely short price favourite Found with number one, Success Days.
Lovely stuff. There we are. Andrew Mount's thoughts ahead of Sunday's racing. Thanks for that, Andrew, and enjoy.
Thank you, Sam.
And remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. on Sunday with Ross Briley, John Budden and Sean Quinn guiding you through the best of the action at Ascot, Carlisle, Doncaster, the Curragh and indeed Limerick. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.